Well, good morning. I know you usually don't see me in a sports coat, right? But I planned ahead today. I figured it was cold, and if you're greeting, opening the door and things. But I got a revelation. Do you know why the speaker often wears a sports coat? Pockets. I got the monitor, I've got my message, my glasses, they're all right there. Let's pray. Almighty God, I realize you have a word for us today, a word for each and every one of us. You are our Lord, our Master. There's just so much that you have given to us. Father, as your word is brought forth in this message, I just pray that everyone is touched in some way. Lord, that you be glorified. And Lord, the people are given something to just think about during the week that percolates in their heart, in their mind, in their soul, in their spirit, driving them to action. And I ask this in our Lord's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. We've got a poster back here that says we're a peculiar people. We are. And I was just thinking about the different styles and the different ways that we have people present here. When we get Reverend Jenks here, you know you're going to get a solid message. And he's going to season it with his life experiences. He's going to add to it. When Rick's up here, you know you got passion and enthusiasm and excitement because it's his heart. He is excited about the Lord. And that's a great thing. When Dave gets up here, you know you're going to get a well-researched, deep, thoughtful message. It's going to just be there. It's solid. With Dennis, you're going to get something that's speaking to him, how God's speaking to him at the moment. With me, just preparing you, I'm more of the Gnostic, the knowledge, let's look at it, an application. I ask the question why a lot when I hear messages or when I read scriptures. And Pastor McCready, he kind of bundles it all. He's got a little bit of passion, the knowledge, the deep. He brings it all together. But I'm an engineer, and I think that's why I receive from Dave as well as I do. But one of the things you're going to find in each and every one of us, no matter how different, how peculiar we are, it's still Christ crucified. That there is but one way to get to eternal life, and that's through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whether I'm up here jumping on stage or whether I'm making you think about it, that's really what it is. So this last couple messages, we've had Passover and then Resurrection Sunday. And I started thinking about it. Why the cross? My brother once joked, he said, hey, if Christ came back in France, everybody would be wearing little lapels and guillotines or something. But that's not where we're at. The Romans, they were an aggressive people. They were, I don't want to say warmongers, but that's their history. That's the way they went. One of my favorite podcasts is Hardcore History, and the guy has a tendency of putting you right there with it. And when he was doing the series on Rome, it's like the Romans, they would go out with their legions, take over an area, and then they'd come to a city or a town or village, whatever, and they'd give them a choice. Either you're going to give in to us and be part of our empire, or we're going to go to war. And if we go to war, not only are most of your men going to die, but your women, your children, they're going to become slaves. That's going to happen. If you submit to us and you become part of us, well, then we're going to take a certain percentage of you, not hold as hostage, but they're going to be part of the army and things like that. So if you ever think about rebelling in the future, that's what's going to happen. They're not good things for them. The Romans, you've often heard, are very brave. The legions, they didn't back down very often. A little bit of history here is that if they did, if they lost and it was because of cowardice or something like that, they'd line the guys up and 1 in 10 would be slaughtered. Hence the term decimated, 1 in 10. That's just the way they went. So when we think about Jesus on the cross, terrible way to die. But the Romans, you got to realize their mindset. When the slaves revolted, they actually crucified, and along the Roman road, one slave every 100 yards. It was set up there for humiliation and as a deterrent. They were afraid of what Jesus was preaching. They didn't want people to think that there was a king or anyone greater than the rulers in Rome. So when you get someone coming in who's going to be the king of kings, they saw it as a threat. They knew it. Last week, Pastor McCrady, his scripture was Luke 24, verses 13 through 31. And he recounted how after Jesus was hung on the cross, died, when he was resurrected, how he appeared to the two men going to Emmaus, and how he walked with them, he talked with them. He got to know them, they got to know him, but they didn't realize he was Christ until they were sitting down at a meal, and then their eyes were open, and that was a game changer. Everything changed. I mean, think about it. The week before, you got the one you think is coming in to be the King of Kings riding in on the donkey, everyone's saying, Hosanna. Man, this is a high. Here it is. It's coming to fruition. We're coming into Jerusalem. And then he hit the low. He died. And now you're back up on top. And you're not going to change because now you know that he's alive and he's around forever. He is the Lord of Lords. We have a Savior. Jesus born in Bethlehem. Most of the lambs and sheep that are sacrificed for Passover in Jerusalem, where Jesus died, are raised outside of Bethlehem. It's not a coincidence. Jesus, the Lamb of God, gave his life for us. But I want to go back to a couple of weeks ago when Reverend McCrady was talking about the rich man and Lazarus. This was in Luke 16, 19 through 31. And at that time, Jesus was teaching. And you got the Pharisees and things, everybody trying to find fault with them. And for those of you who weren't here, the story is told about a rich man, Lazarus, a rich man who wore purple and lived the high life. Life was good, the prodigal. I mean, he was out there partying, doing things probably. And every day he'd go by Lazarus, who was a beggar, who had sores, who had a tough life, barely scraping by. They both died. And then he recalled how when they were down there by Abraham's side, Abraham's bosom, how the rich man was just in so much torment and things. And he said, Lord, to Abraham, he said, if Lazarus could just, dip his finger and give me some water. And Abraham said, no, there's a chasm between us. Jesus was making the reality that there is an eternity, good and bad, making it very, very clear. And I thought it was interesting that at that time, the rich man said, if nothing else, can you send back to talk to my brothers? I've got 5 brothers. I don't want them to go through this. Again, the answer, no. Actually, what he said, So Abraham answered, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. No, Father Abraham, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. He said to them, if they did not listen to Moses and the prophets, they'll not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. Wow. Today's scripture is from Matthew 27, verses 50 to 53. And it says, and when Jesus has cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. And this is a scripture I've wrestled with a few times. It says in verse 51, at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy men who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. So where we had the rich man and Abraham and Lazarus saying, hey, you know, even if the dead were to come back and speak to them, they're not going to listen. Here we have it. You got holy men going into the city. Put yourself in that situation. What would happen if you were in the city and these people came in and said, yeah, we were dead, but we were brought back to life and we've got a purpose now. God's doing something. We saw Jesus resurrected. He came. He saved. That's pretty, I don't know what I would do. I'd be skeptical because I'm usually very skeptical about things. I'd say, I don't know you. You know, it isn't my, you know, you don't go on Ancestry.com and find out who these were. You just say, hey, let's figure out what's going on. You might give them attention if it's just one or two. But if it's a bunch of people, you start wondering about it. Well, as the two men on the road to Emmaus' eyes were opened when they were eating with Jesus, I started asking myself the question, what about us? We have been brought back to life. Spiritually, each and every one of us was dead. We're like those men who were raised from the tomb, called to go to the city, called to go and tell what God has done for each and every one of us. And I know we're an older congregation. I don't have to be politically correct and say that we're more experienced. But everybody here has something. You have a testimony. There is power in what you've been through. The question is, are we prepared? I know that there, even everybody here can share the word of the Lord, share Jesus and their own testimony. Everyone's got a story. Some of us are a little afraid to go out and share it at times. Others of us don't know how. Maybe not recognizing that, hey, we were dead and we're called to life. And just like that rich man didn't want others to suffer, his brothers, I don't want to see anyone go to hell. It's just not the way it is. I'd love to have everyone have a relationship with God. A lot of us don't recognize the spiritual realm. We look at things earthly. We've got enough problems. You know, Dennis said, maybe the sun will shine. It's, well, how much rain are we going to get today? You know, it's just one of those things. It happens. Into every life, there is rain. There are things that bring us down. We go through those emotional highs and lows, just like the guys from Emmaus. You know, we think things are great, and then things go bad. Change doesn't always mean progress. Movement isn't always forward. There are things that happen. You can be going great and then get injured, fall off a ladder. Who knows? You know, this happens. More so than you want to think about at times. But, I mean, you get, there are all kind of illnesses and things and setbacks. But you got to realize that God is in charge. And no matter how bad things seemed, just like when they were thinking about Jesus being crucified, they thought, here's a man who said he was the King of Kings, and now he's dead. What's going to happen? Well, one of the things they did, and one of the things we're called to do, is be prepared to share the good news, to tell people about Jesus, to tell others what he has done in our life. How the scales have fallen from our eyes. It's interesting. You think about it. If you say and believe in your heart that there is indeed a heaven and a hell, a separation from God, after you have tasted what is good, how could you not want that for everybody? The times when you're down and out and you're comforted just by knowing that God's in control, that this isn't it. This life is not all there is. How much more do you want to share that with others? How glad are you that somebody shared that with you? And how do you do it? I mentioned a lot of us may not feel like we're prepared enough. Maybe you haven't shared the gospel with others. But I know that every person here, no matter how experienced you are, can do something to help others. And maybe it's just training those who train. I think about mentoring, speaking into other people's lives, taking the time to coach someone, to help them through. I know when we first got married, oh boy, a long time ago, right there, 36 years or something like 37 this year, we started going to a church that was an outreach, and it was a new plant. And that church went through the fundamentals of Christianity, the basics, the ABCs, and I learned so much. It was good. It helped me. There were others there who took an interest in me and spoke into my life. You know, when I see Roland and I just think about the nice, kind words he says, he's been through a lot too. We all have. Everyone. Bob, Darlene, when I hear you guys pray, wow, it just amazed me, the depth, just the heart that you guys have. I was talking to someone and it's like, before church, get along, talk to other people, socialize, get to help one another, encourage one another. We're all called to do that. And we all can do that. We're not an island. No man here is a lone wolf who's going to just stand before the Lord and then say, okay, where's my little solitary place in heaven? We're going to be together, worshiping God, praising Him. And I think we're going to know each other. A couple months, it's been almost a year now, we went up to New Hampshire for our son's wedding. And when we went in the church, where we hadn't been in almost 15 years, and just to see people, and they recognize you, and the warm hugs and embraces, that good feeling, it's because they knew us. It wasn't just, oh, I saw you at church. You talk about the kids, you talk about what's going on in life, you care about one another. When Jesus came back and appeared to the disciples, they were together. Later on, Thomas came, you know, but it's still the same thing. They were together. They weren't out there by themselves. Everyone here has something to offer. The kindnesses, just the warm hugs, saying hi, caring about one another, and going to your knees and praying for one another. Everybody here. A couple weeks ago, it was the beginning of trout season. You know, it's crazy the number of cars out there at the streams and what was happening. But the week before, there's a mentoring day. The streams are stocked, and kids can go out with an adult and be taught how to fish. I think that's a great thing. It's a target-rich environment, and they can go out there and they catch a fish, and they're so happy, and they learn the way to do things. You know, the saying, give a man a fish, he eats for a day. Teach a man to fish, he can eat forever. Well, we're fishers of men. We've been given a gift. We've been that fish. We've been given salvation. But we need to help others to be fishers of men. And everyone here has a part to play in that. Everyone here can just reach out and help one another. I know we have in the bulletin names, people to pray for. We need to do that. We need to pray for one another. Maybe just that phone call or the text. I mean, you can go on YouTube and find out how to work through salvation. But you know what? That personal touch means so much. It's what people need. They need to know that people care. We need to know that we care about each other. Do things, open up our lives, help one another. And that's what I've been getting out of the last couple messages. The reality, there is a heaven and a hell. There's a separation. I know we have loved ones, people we care about, that may not be walking right with God. Why did Jesus talk about the rich man and Lazarus? You know, all scripture is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. He wasn't just putting it in the face of the Pharisees. He was teaching us too. It's something we have to take very somberly. There are things we can do. Reaching out to help someone. People still do that. People care. Christians, we're peculiar. We're different. We see beyond the physical. We see into the spiritual realm. We have the Holy Spirit guiding us. Wow. A lot of people don't. A lot of people would be better off if they did. So we need to do our part. So, not necessarily a word of encouragement today. Maybe an exhortation. Just get out there. Share with one another. Realize how blessed you are. My brother says, we have it better than the Pharaohs of old. We can go to the store. We can get an orange, a pineapple, anything. We have beautiful homes. Most of us live in comfort. We don't have war at our doorsteps. We're blessed. We are exceedingly blessed. And though some of us may be ailing, there may be health issues, we're not in it for the short term. We're in it for the long haul. And that's an eternity to realize that God loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you, for me. He loves you that much. So when we say Lord, you think about it, is he my master? When you're tempted, do you go to God and say, help me out here? No temptation is seized except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He'll provide a way out. If he's your Lord, if he's your master, if you have submitted to him, you have a responsibility not just to live a life for him, but to help others. Let's pray. Almighty God, I know what you did for me, what you did for others, how you care about each and every one of us, so much that you laid your life down for us. Help us to live a life for you, Lord, realizing we're not perfect, we're going to make mistakes, but when we do, you're there to forgive us, that we have a responsibility to repent, to turn from our evil ways, to seek you, to seek your will for our lives. We have a responsibility to encourage one another, to help one another. Father, give us the means to do that. Physically, the time, the energy, the resources. Lord, let this church, this local body, be a lighthouse for you. Lord, you gave it all for us. Help us to give back to you. And we ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.